Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Technology and new innovations are changing the world in which we live. In this dynamic landscape, the U.S. Department of State has sought to restructure its organization and how it operates, advancing diplomacy by pursuing effective knowledge sharing, as well as expanding the use of collaborative technology. It's about identifying better ways to find information and network with others, in essence, to encourage and enable state personnel to securely and effectively find and contribute knowledge anywhere at any time. What is e-diplomacy? How is e-diplomacy moving the State Department from a culture of need to know toward a culture of need to share? And what does the future hold for e-diplomacy at the U.S. Department of State? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Richard Boley, Director of the Office of e-Diplomacy within the U.S. Department of State. Richard, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also joining our conversation is Dan Chenock, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, Richard, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you could provide us with a brief overview of the history and evolving mission of the U.S. Department of State's Office of e-Diplomacy. When was it created, and how has its mission evolved to date?
Well, nothing begets success like failure, and e-diplomacy was born of three big failures. The first was the 1998 East Africa embassy bombings and a blue ribbon panel that saw that the State Department needed to do a better job of knowledge management and information sharing. The other was 9/11, which showed that there was that same need for the interagency community. And the third was a very kludgy and ineffective and expensive effort at knowledge management, which didn't get buy-in. It was a typical kind of top-down command and control approach. So out of that was born e-diplomacy, which was an effort to put end users in the IT decision-making process and help us develop platforms for collaboration and information sharing really from the grassroots. So again, we've been around for about 10 years. There are core products of these platforms for collaboration and knowledge management have been around for 5 or 6 years. And with the 21st Century Statecraft and Secretary Clinton, we've expanded our reach.
So with a very interesting mission, could you give us a sense of how your office is organized? What's the size of its budget, number of folks that work with you?
Sure. So we've grown considerably in the 3 or 4 years that I've been in the office. The office was roughly 18 people when I started. What was the core e-diplomacy, this collaboration platforms, was merged with the office, the customer liaison division, which really was looking for these systemic challenges when there were breakdowns so that we could solve them once rather than solving them 100 times. And we thought it would be great to have this office, customer liaison division, which had its finger on the pulse of the technology pain points of the State Department, together with an innovation shop that could look at how to solve those. So together, the combined office plus some opportunistic growth, we're about 80 now. And our budget is roughly a rounding error in the IT budget for the State Department.
So, Richard, focusing on your specific responsibilities as the director of the Office of e-Diplomacy, what are your duties and what areas are under your purview? Interestingly, how do your efforts support the overall State Department mission?
So we always, and this is something I really try to encourage our team to look at, is our goal is to kind of answer that challenge that that the CEO of another tech company, Hewlett-Packard, Lou Platt was the CEO at the time, once said, if HP only knew what HP knows, they'd be 3 times more productive. Well, I like to say if the State Department only knew what the State Department knows, we'd be closer to world peace. So providing that mission and enabling that mission so that our diplomats and our State Department employees can have access to the information they need whenever and wherever, that's the core goal that we have. What I try to do in supporting the team that we have in e-diplomacy is encourage them to think big, not to box themselves in by what has been done. I like to try to block for them when there's people who are trying to slow down their progress. And I like to be to amplify any praise that happens. So I really want to, you know, let them do great work and help block obstacles and move obstacles out of the way.
So regarding obstacles, I'd like to transition to what are the three top challenges you have faced in your current position, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
That's a great question, Michael. The one key one is institutionalization. So every time that we make a gain, how can we institutionalize that gain so that it doesn't become, you know, the barnacle that gets scraped off the ship when some new leadership comes in, but it becomes woven into the very fabric of how we do diplomacy. Again, getting back to solving problems, we find that that's the best way to institutionalize something. When somebody finds that something, a platform that we've developed helps them get their job done better, faster, quicker, and more efficiently, they become the advocates for the work that we're doing. And so we really try to have as many people come to that aha moment and move over the hump that always happens when you move to something new.
Great. And Richard, I understand that you're a career diplomat. Could you describe your career path for our listeners? How did you begin your career, and what brought you into the current leadership role that you're in?
Well, I grew up in this Portland, Oregon, same house that I kind of came home from the hospital in when I was born, and always envied the kids who got to travel around the world and whose, you know, parents worked for international companies. So I always had an itching to kind of have that kind of opportunity. I did spend some time in Silicon Valley, which gave me insight into the innovation culture. And coming together in the State Department, I looked for those opportunities, those kind of greenfield opportunities within the State Department where the objective was pretty clear, but the how to get there wasn't. And that's something that where I think I can add value, and it's something that I really enjoy. And so when I was looking for a position, after coming out of a fellowship at Stanford University, e-diplomacy just was perfect.
So actually, given your experience as a career diplomat, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in an increasingly interconnected network world? And more particularly, who has influenced your leadership style and management approach?
That's another great question. I, you know, again, as I mentioned, spent time in Silicon Valley, and I remember I was impacted the first time I went to see the CEO and chairman of Intel, Gordon Moore, and I walked into his office, and his office was a cubicle. And I said, if the founder of a Fortune 500 company is satisfied with a cubicle, there must be something to it. And so I've embraced a very horizontal, non-hierarchical approach to leadership, both pushing decision-making down and empowering my team to make decisions, as well as putting them up front. So that I'm not ever taking credit for the work they're doing. If they're doing the work, they should be the ones briefing on it, speaking about the work that they're doing. So that's a crucial takeaway for me.
Are there any other characteristics that you find appealing in certain leaders that you've inculcated?
Yeah. So again, going to giving credit is one important thing. Another thing that oftentimes diplomats can be not so good about is confrontation. So when there's a problem, I don't like to let it fester. So if there's an issue or a decision needs to be made, I, again, want to empower my team to make the decision and know that I'll back them up on the decision because I trust their judgment. And if they need me to make a decision or they need an action-forcing event to make that decision, I push towards that. And if somebody's not happy out of it, well, you know, that's life. But to try to keep everybody happy, sometimes you just don't get things done.
What is e-diplomacy? We will ask Richard Boley, Director of the Office of E-Diplomacy within the U.S. State Department, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.